I grew up with a very supernatural idea of Jesus. A very supernatural idea of Jesus. I thought he went around, you know, all the time reading people's minds and healing anybody at his, just like that, at his own will. He just, anytime he just had a mind to it, he would heal people and doing miracles all the time. That was the kind of attitude or mindset I had of Jesus. And such ideas, they led some people really early on to write stories about Jesus, some weird stories. And some people, they they're being weird too, because they're looking at some of these older apocryphal books called like the Apostle of Mary, or the Epistle of Mary, or the Gospel of Thomas. Those are not in the Bible, by the way, for a good reason, but they're looking at them saying, we should probably study these things. Well, let's see if they have wisdom. Here in chapter 4 of the Gospel of Thomas, it says that when Jesus was 5 years old, he gathered grain into a pool, told the muddy water to clear up, and made 12 sparrows from the mud. Since it was the Sabbath, some Jewish kids told on him. But when Joseph got there to scold him, he sent the sparrows flying off, singing praises to God. When a Pharisee's son tried to empty and dry up the pool with an olive branch, Jesus made the boy dry up so that he died. Carrying the body off, his parents reviled Joseph and said, "Behold, what your son has done, teach him to pray and not to blaspheme." Aren't you glad that's not in the Bible? And any of the intellectuals today that are saying, oh, we need to read study the Gospel of Thomas, need to be thrown out of school, lose their professorship, because that's just crazy. But this portrayed a Jesus with a supernaturally overactive imagination, you know. And it was probably their warped imagination that made him portray Jesus in this way. But if he was like that, then he was a real problem child for his parents, don't you think? He would be a problem child. But part of our understanding of the incarnation, really truly understanding what God did by becoming flesh and dwelling among us, this incarnation, is realizing that Jesus did become human. And he grew up. And he learned. And he didn't start out by looking up, and his mother was holding him and saying, "Hi, Mama, did you know I'm the Son of God?" That's not what the baby Jesus did. Everything that Jesus knew, he learned. He learned. And he learned the Word of God, probably in the synagogue, and he learned things about himself from the Holy Spirit. And, you know, this passage was an epiphany to me. It was an epiphany because it really helped me to understand that Jesus was really human. It was an epiphany that most of Jesus' life was an ordinary life. It was down to earth. He had come down to earth and he lived a down to earth life. Most of his life. And that was something that just blessed my heart. But in this text, it shows that most of Jesus' life was like that, but then something changed. And Mary and Joseph did have some trouble with Jesus. That's the title of this message. The trouble with Jesus is, you know, the trouble with Jesus. Well, they had some trouble with Jesus. He wasn't acting like the child that they knew. And as we grow, we may lose the Jesus that we know, only to find that we know him better afterwards. And that's something I hope you get out of this message. If you lose anything about the Jesus that you learned about, and you lose it, it may be painful, it may be hard to do that. But if you get to know Jesus better, it's worth the effort, and it's worth the process. So as his parents did, we can also lose Jesus, the Jesus that we know. In verse 41 and 44, I'll read it again. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. The boy Jesus stayed behind. He's 12 years old, remember. While his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Jesus sensed that he had a new schedule now. He was 12 years old. That's the age of bar mitzvah. The word bar mitzvah means a son of the law. He realized, I have become a son of the law. I have a new spiritual responsibility. So his parents had taken him along to Jerusalem with them. But Jesus stayed behind because he was sensing a call to a new mission. He was sensing, I have a new mission in life. That call is very important to Jesus. Well, you know, taking Jesus along, it reminded me of, I don't know if they still do this, I haven't seen these for a long time, but the little plastic Jesus on the dash. You take Jesus along with you. Why? So that you can be protected on your journey. But Jesus wants not to just protect you. The real Jesus, not the plastic Jesus, but the real Jesus wants to guide you in doing God's will. So what if you're on your journey, you know, you're thinking, I want this plastic Jesus to protect me, and the little plastic Jesus speaks up, hey, pull over. I've got some business to do in my Father's business, so pull over, I have to attend to it. What would you do? You wish. I didn't want to bring that Jesus along, because he wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. Well, in a very real sense, we see that they left Jesus behind. And in a very real sense, we can leave the real Jesus behind. We can leave the real Jesus behind by failing to take him home with us. And that's what they did. His parents were returning home without him. It reminded me of that old American Express card motto, don't leave home without it. Well, a good Jesus motto, and this is for us, is don't leave church without him. You know, don't leave church without him. And that's the real Jesus. We're talking not the plastic Jesus, but the real Jesus wants to lead us. And we can leave him behind also by failing to practice his presence. They were unaware of his absence. They were unaware. And it's easy for us that to happen to us too. But how can we practice a constant awareness of Jesus in our lives? Well, that's a question that came to a little monk in a monastery who was a dishwasher. That's about the only job he did. And he became so famous, even among some priests of his day, they wanted to have his letters and they wanted to publish his letters on practicing the presence of God. I'm talking about Brother Lawrence. If you don't have that book, or if you don't, I'm sure it's in the library. It's a little tiny, almost like a pamphlet. But practicing the presence of God is a very, very good start in learning how to be aware always of Jesus' presence. And then we can also lose the real Jesus by failing to make Christ personal. Failing to make Christ personal. Thinking he was in their company. They thought that, well, he's in the group. You know, he's in the family. And you know, there's such a thing as family faith. Oh, I'm good. I've often talked to people and they said, oh, yeah, but my grandfather, he was a pastor. That should get me in. That should get you in? It's a one-on-one basis. Your grandfather's in, but maybe, you know, you're not unless you are like your grandfather. You know, unless you become a believer yourself. It's not family faith. It's just not in the, it's in the group. It's in the company. It's in the family. And a lot of people trust that. Yeah, I've got a good family faith. Do you have it personally? And that's the point. And that's what Jesus wants. And then we can also leave the real Jesus behind by failing to search properly. Here's what they were doing. They were looking for him among their relatives and friends. You know, we often get too cozy with the familiar, with what's familiar. We just get too used to it. We like to stay in our comfort zone. Oh, I've learned how to deal with this, so I'm just going to stay in my comfort zone. Well, try to imagine putting yourself in Ananias' shoes when he was told by Christ in a dream, get up, go down to such and such a place, and I want you to pray for the one that's been persecuting and putting Christians into jail. I want you to pray for the healing of his eyes. That was Paul. And Ananias was told, I can just see Ananias. What are you thinking of, God? What do you want me to do? That's totally out of his comfort zone. And losing Jesus wasn't part of Mary and Joseph's comfort zone either. It took a 3-day search for to find him. I want you to think about that for a minute. 3 days looking for your lost child. And although he impressed the temple teachers so much that they gave him 3 days of hospitality, because that's what it was, 3 days. They fed him and they gave him a place to sleep. And then they continued on with these questions the next day. That may have impressed those teachers, but it did not impress Mary and Joseph. You can imagine what they went through. But they had to lose the Jesus that they knew so that they could know him better after finding him again. And we too may find a different Jesus than we expected. Verse 45 through 50, I'll read again. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple court, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying. Mary and Joseph had both been told, even before he was born, they had been told who Jesus really was. They did. They were told who Jesus really was. But they had got used to something. For 12 years, they got used to a baby growing up, becoming a toddler, learning to walk, playing with daddy's tools, becoming a growing boy. And that's what they were used to. They had become accustomed to Jesus as a growing boy. We get used to Jesus in the Bible stories sometimes. We just see Jesus in the Bible stories. And if he's really in our lives, if he's really there in our lives, there's only one reason he's there. He wants to lead us in doing his Father's will. Just like when he was here, he wanted to do his Father's will. He's in your life to get you to do the Father's will. For your story to become part of God's story. That's what he's in your life for. And this temple episode, it just gives us a peek, a small peek, at Christ's own self-discovery very, very early on at age 12, bar mitzvah age. You know, it's interesting that God did not do this before 12 years old. He did it at 12 years old during the bar mitzvah age. And we see this self-discovery. Jesus is actually discovering himself here. This was an epiphany for me when I first came across this. This was an epiphany for me. I was getting a new revelation of Christ. In his sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions, he was actually living out his bar mitzvah by sitting with those teachers. And my early idea, when I was growing up, my idea was that this story had a boy sitting and teaching these older men. That was in my mind. I don't know where I got this. Maybe it was in Bible stories. Maybe it was in some of the interpretations that I got, because I'm reading the early church fathers as a devotional thing. I'm reading through a commentary on the whole Bible. It's going to take me a long time to do it. But they had those kinds of attitudes that Jesus was just like that. You know, he was teaching them at that point. But that's not what it was. The real Jesus was sitting there as a disciple. He was in the seat of a disciple learning. He was asking questions, and he was listening to them. give their answer. So he was learning. He was in the seat of a disciple. And he was also learning a new confidence. This was something it astounded Mary and Joseph when they saw it. But he was doing something new he had never done before. He had a new confidence in speaking what he was led to share. I hope you guys will get that new confidence during the sharing time. If you've never shared before, you'll get this new confidence of sharing what you're led to share. Something tugs at your heart that the Lord wants you to share. But his confidence in doing that was confirmed. It says, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. Christ's epiphany. He had an epiphany. You know, we say, Lord, this is epiphany season, and it's about the manifestation of Christ. And this is an early manifestation that I've never seen as an epiphany passage in preaching. But this is an epiphany about Christ. This is a revelation about Christ's nature, about who he was and what he was like. And we often look at epiphany season as, where in the Bible does it manifest Jesus, who he really was? And we pick those passages. Well, here, we're seeing Jesus in the midst of an epiphany himself. He was having a revelation of who he was, about being God's son. And this epiphany led him to see this revelation, this epiphany, as the debut of his ministry, the beginning of my, this is the beginning of my ministry. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Literally, here's what that says. These are the little literal words in the Greek. Don't you know that I must be in the things of the Father of me? Don't you know that I must be in those things? I must be involved in those things of my Father, the Father of me? And he was intent on doing the ministry that his identity implied. And you know what? As his followers, we should be intent on doing what our identity in Christ implies. If that is who we are, what should we be doing? That's the question that he was facing. And you know something? Everyone grew. Everyone grew in knowledge through this event, including Jesus. He grew in knowledge during this event. And that's hard for some people to accept. No, Jesus knew everything. He just knew everything. And so this was no surprise to him. I'm sorry. That's not what the Scripture says. You may have to lose that kind of Jesus to find the one that's real. Because when you find him, you will understand what he meant when he said, follow me. Follow my human example. I have lived this. I have actually walked it. And I'm asking you to follow me in it. That's a different kind of Jesus that we've understood sometimes. So everyone grew in knowledge through this event, including Jesus himself. For us and for his parents, we think, you know, we identify with Mary and Joseph in this one. We say, oh, what's he doing, you know? Growing in our knowledge of Jesus, growing into a new knowledge of Jesus, can actually be painful. And it was for Mary. Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Literally, that word anxiously is in torment. The other places in Scripture that talks about in torment is about hell. They were feeling hellishly tormented. And we understand that when we think about those today who are missing children. They have missing children. It is a hell that they're going through, a hellish torment. She was actually expressing this to her son Jesus. And getting to know, growing to know the real Jesus can also expose something. It can expose our lack of spiritual insight. Our lack of spiritual insight. Why were you searching for me? Don't you know who I am? Who do you think I am? Why were you searching for me? And then He was answering, and he was answering her words by a contrast. He answered by contrasting Mary's words, "Your father and I," with his words, "My father, the father of me." And he put those. That's how he answered her. She said, "Your father and I, we're going through this," and he says, "My father has called me." You know, and so that can be. I wasn't seeing that. I didn't see that. And you know something? It's okay to confess, "Oh, I didn't see that." It's okay to say, "I didn't." We are not spiritual gurus. We don't know everything. We are learning. And we're learning spiritually. We are actually today, and it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. He was 12 years old. We're a lot older than that, but we're still learning. We're in the learning process. And so this thing of growing in the knowledge of Jesus can leave us with questions. We can say, you know, here's what they said, that they did not understand what he was saying to them. That just, oh boy, that gives me some questions about what's going on here. They did not understand what he was going. And we can also continue to have questions, and it's okay. But we might finally say, you know, when do we finally get all the answers? Come on. We've been living this Christian faith for a long time. When do we finally get all the answers? And Paul answered that really well in 1 Corinthians 14. And he says this, that the answer to that is when we no longer see through a glass darkly, but face to face. Yeah. There's going to be a time like that. If you're anxious for it, well, the Lord may take you soon. But you know what? All of us are going to get to be there. We're all going to get there. And those who have passed on are there, and they're learning more than getting a lot of their answers answered. But Jesus also grew in knowledge during this time, through this event. He had heard the Spirit right. The Holy Spirit was ministering to him, and he had heard the Spirit right. Yes, he was God's Son. And he was sent to do the Father's will. Got those two right. But he did not know yet the time. He still had to learn something about timing. And if you read about Jesus, and he often says this, "It's not time yet. It's not time yet." Where did he learn that? He started right here, learning about timing. Yes, I know who I am. I'm a Christian. Yes, I'm supposed to do the Father's will. I'm going out and tell everybody that they need to know Jesus. I'm going to grab everybody and buttonhole everybody and pound the Bible on them or bang the Bible, you know. There are people that do that because they run with what their knowledge is, but they must learn timing. They must learn God's time, not to spoil things. And you say, "Well, David, how do you really know that really happened?" Well, Jesus, he was learning. He was learning, it says later on. The Holy Spirit evidently did something at that moment or at that time, because it was right there that something changed. The Holy Spirit evidently let him know that the timing was off. Because, in the following verse, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. It was like a reversal. But it really wasn't a reversal on him being the Son of God or him knowing he had to do the Father's will. It was a reversal on timing. And it lasted a while. 12 years old to 30 years. We don't hear anything about Jesus doing anything. We know he was a carpenter, and he was known to be a carpenter, so he was probably involved in carpenter work. But he wasn't involved in ministry until his baptism. And that's usually the time people say epiphany, where Jesus is being manifest. I say it started here. I say he was being manifest of who he was right here, and he was teaching us something about ourselves as he was learning something about himself. So Jesus continued this learning process until his baptism, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Ongoing listening prayer. You know, that's why listening prayer is important. Not just intercessory prayer where you're asking for things, but you're actually quietly listening to what God is sharing with you. That's important. Listening prayer helped him to grow in wisdom. And ongoing labor in carpentry helped him to grow in stature, muscles, and grow up as a strong man. Ongoing obedience to the Spirit won him favor with God. He had to prove himself spiritually. As a human being, he had to prove himself spiritually. You know? Because God said, I am well pleased in him. Why? Why was he well pleased in him? Just because he's always been with him in heaven forever? No, because of him being a human being and being obedient. That pleased God. God pleased God. God in the flesh pleased God in heaven. So ongoing obedience to the Spirit won him favor with God, and ongoing personal development won him favor with men, and we know that too. So Jesus tells us this, follow me, follow me. He grew in spirituality, and he calls us to grow. He was a learner, and he expects us to be learners. I lost my comfortable, miraculous Jesus. I lost him. I don't have that comfortable, miraculous Jesus anymore. But I lost him so that I could know him better. The truly real human Jesus who was God in the flesh. He was showing us what is it like to be God in the flesh as a human being and live out his human life. So it's not easy to let go of our old ideas, especially about Christ. But Jesus wants us to grow in our knowledge of him, in our true knowledge of the real Jesus. He wants us to grow in that. And afterwards, when we know him better, then we'll be better able to follow Mary's example in this verse. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. You will treasure this. I've treasured it. You will treasure every time you get to know Jesus better, the real Jesus, and you have to lose the Jesus that is not quite the Jesus that is real. When you lose that and you know him better, you'll treasure it in your heart. Believe me, you will. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this passage because it is truly an epiphany passage. An epiphany passage that some haven't seen, but Lord, it's there. It shows us more about you so that we could understand you, and also that we could understand and respond to your words, follow me. Bless us, Lord, in that following, that we might do it with our wholeheartedness, and continue to help us to know you better, we pray in Jesus' name.